on Wednesdays, we open up a stone cold can of beer and talk wrestling. So, with that being said, welcome to another episode of Another Motherfucker Podcast, the wokest podcast in the world. I am your host, Paris Ahmad, and you're now entering the Paris verse. Now, before we get into the episode, if you want to support the show financially, there are multiple ways you could do so. First and foremost, you can find us over on Patreon at patreon.com/savedbyparis, where you can subscribe to us for only $3.33, cheaper than your cup of coffee. You can also subscribe to us directly on Spotify, where you will gain access to bonus episodes and early access to episodes as well. Maybe. Don't quote me on that. to support the show, it does not need to be financially. So if you listen to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please be sure to rate the show 5 stars, as it will help us move up in the algorithm. Now that we got all that out the way, Edge is All Elite. So for those of you who are wrestling fans, which if you're listening to this episode, I would hope so, you are probably aware that former WWE superstar, the rated R superstar, Edge, is now AEW. And it's been rumors for the past few months. You know, he had his last match on SmackDown against Sheamus, and we did not know if he was going to renew his WWE contract. We did not know if he was going to go to AEW. He did make a statement prior saying that that was not the case and that he had a contract sitting in his inbox waiting to renew. So, what changed? What happened? Why did he make the decision to become All Elite? Well, there are probably multiple reasons, but let's take it from the man himself. And so Adam Copeland, who in AEW, he is going by his full legal name, as Edge is, of course, copyrighted by WWE. But he did go to address his transition from WWE to AEW on his social medias, and he says, you know, if you're a fan of wrestling and not acronyms, this should make you happy. And so let's just start with what he posted in a series of posts on X, formerly known as Twitter, if you're out of the loop. But he says, from the desk of ... As some of you may know, I'm no longer with WWE. My new home is AEW. I'm excited. Whole new roster, some familiar faces that I wanted to work with again. Probably guys like Daniel Bryan and Christian, of course. And he continues, a whole set of first ever matches. New challenges, and if you followed my career, you know that's what I've always been driven by. But first and foremost, I want to address my 25 years with WWE. I love WWE, and I appreciate everything the company did for me. Always have, always will. They put me on the map, gave me amazing opportunities, and through hard work on both ends, I've been supplied with a wonderful, wonderful life. Hell, WWE helped me meet the woman I start my family with. He is, of course, referring to Beth Phoenix. Sometimes relationships just grow apart, and I feel that WWE and I have just outgrown each other. I wanted to do more. They didn't have much for me to do. Simple as that. And that's okay. I'll still be watching and still be supporting all my friends there. I don't buy into this odd mentality of one company or the other. It's weird. If you took offense to that, take a walk, get some fresh air, and soak up some sunshine. It's wrestling. An amazing gig, but still, it's wrestling. Relax. It's supposed to be fun. He continues in this very long post, of course. And it's just a segment of the fans. Not most fans, and definitely not the performers. Within the industry, we all know that more choices is better for everyone and pushes us all to be better. That I can agree with. As a wrestling fan, which I still am, it's exciting that there's viable companies providing wrestling on national and worldwide platforms. if you're actually a fan of wrestling and not acronyms, that should make you happy. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. If you have appreciated my work, you still can, no matter what the initials are, WWE, AEW, because I'll still be busting my ass every time I'm out there. This ride isn't over just yet. Just try to have fun like it should be, because trust me, I'll be having fun every time I'm out there in an AEW ring. Let's go. And yeah, so he, like I said, Adam Copeland, he did address the universe. And this was his statement, of course. And yeah, there could be multiple reasons of why he went over there. He even mentioned some, you know, fresh new faces, fresh new matches, also familiar faces. Like I said, Daniel Bryan, Christian, those are guys that he has worked with before. And like he said, WWE didn't have much left for him to do. Part of why I think he went is obviously to finally have that one-on-one storyline with Christian. You know, we've been robbed that, of course. You know, it never lined up in WWE. They started out as tag teams. They went their separate way in singles competition. Christian, of course, was in TNA for a bit, came back to WWE, had an ECW championship run. Great run, by the way. And then, of course, Edge had to unfortunately retire. And I'm kind of speeding this all up. But what I'm trying to say is it just never worked out for them to have a program together. The closest we kind of got was with Edge's retirement when Christian was facing Randy. And I think Edge came back. And if I remember correctly, did he assisted Christian or he cost Christian the championship? I can't remember. But yeah, so he just... Look, if it was us and we got paid millions of dollars to work with our best friend, who wouldn't do that? So kudos to Adam Copeland. WWE was apparently slacking. They didn't trademark the Rated R Superstar, so he is still able to go by that in another company. Of course, he still gets to keep his theme music. WWE does not own rights to that. I think the band can, similar to with CM Punk's theme song, I think the band can, like, you know, give rights to companies to use that, to use their song. The only thing he had to change was the intro, the You Think You Know Me. I guess that was copyrighted by WWE, but everything else, like, yeah, WWE dropped the ball, man. They let a who, like Kurt Angle even said recently on his podcast, who was destined to be a WWE lifer. But with even so, you got to realize guys like Big Show, Mark Henry, guys who were also considered WWE lifers did make that switch. So at this point in time, wrestling is evolving. It's something new and exciting now for a lot of casual and hardcore fans. So, hey, nothing's in stone. You know, you'd be surprised. And with that being said, let's move on to our next segment. Or next topic, shall I say. Writers' strike. The Hollywood writers' strike. I've talked about this in the previous episode, but it has allowed us to get not only John Cena, but The Rock to return. And, of course, as you know, Cena has been, eight, 10 weeks? Not last, but, you know, he was confirmed for a full 10-week span, I believe. And he's been at the SmackDown Weekly. He did the pay-per-view, the most recent pay-per-view. And he will be facing the Bloodline coming up at the Fast Lane pay-per-view. And he will be teaming with none other than the hot megastar, L.A. Knight. Yeah. But, look, when our idols, they get older, their appearances are more rare. We have to enjoy moments like this. So I hope you guys, as much as I have been enjoying the living legend, John Cena, because who knows how much longer we'll have him in a wrestling ring. So many of the guys that we grew up on, Taker, Triple H, they're all retiring or have retired. you know, think about it, like Jeff and Matt Hardy and even Edge and Christian, these guys don't have much longer left in a active wrestling role. So we just got to enjoy these moments while we can, when we can. So this is really dope. Cena, LA Knight tag teaming up against the Bloodline in Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso. What's the deal with Jimmy? Does he want to be the tribal chief? Does he want to be welcomed back into the family, or are there ulterior motives? We will learn those as time goes on. Meanwhile, his twin brother over on Raw, Jey Uso, he's planning for some huge things. According to the writers, they have the next two months planned for him. So right now it's earning the trust of the locker room. I love that. I love that they didn't let him go over there and immediately be welcomed. These are things that growing up, I never thought made sense. Why, just because you were a baby face, you had to be friends with another baby face. So I love that. For Jay, it's an uphill battle of gaining the trust, similar to Sami Zayn with Kevin Owens, because Sami was in the Bloodline for a while, and he wreaked havoc, you know, on his peers. So, I love the directions that they're going. Eventually, we'll get that one-on-one brother confrontation, maybe at WrestleMania, maybe before then. But, the WWE is hitting on all cylinders right now. So, of course, speaking of the other return, The Rock returned recently in a segment with McAfee and Theory, and he came in the ring. He told Theory to shut his bitch ass up before hitting him with the people's elbow. And what do you guys think? Do you think WWE should plant the seeds for The Rock versus Roman Reigns? If I was to do it, but I'm not a booker. What the fuck do I know, right? But if I was to do it, you can't always please the fans. But if I was to do it, I would set it up this way. I don't know. I don't want Cody to win another Royal Rumble. Maybe he wins the Elimination Chamber. Okay, maybe a Raw superstar wins the Royal Rumble, challenges for the World Heavyweight Championship over there. And then we have a Elimination Chamber match. The winner is the number one contender to Roman Reigns. That's where I would enter Cody to finish the story, because we had Jey Uso traded to Raw. Now there's a superstar supposed to be traded to SmackDown. And who better than Cody Rhodes? So we do that, okay? And you have Cody face Roman on night two. But that leaves night one open. That leaves night one open for Roman to pull double duty and face The Rock. That's how I would do it. Have The Rock versus Roman night one for the championship, for the tribal chief, head of the table, moniker, whatever. Have Roman win. You cannot have Roman lose going into night two, of course. He has to have all that momentum. So that would make it even much more sweeter when Cody finally finishes the story and beats Roman Reigns. That's how I would do it, of course. Just because WWE's kind of backed themselves into a corner with this story, I would have never had Cody go after Roman in the first place. I don't think that was his story to finish. I think that was, like I said previously, Jey Uso's, or even Solo Sikoa's story to finish. Even Sami Zayn, who was hot going into WrestleMania last year, that would have been a great time to get the belt off of Roman onto Sami. But of course, WWE is going for these record-breaking title reigns. You know, we see it with Gunther, we see it with Roman. He's slowly passing all these reigns, and who's left? Hulk Hogan, because I don't see him breaking Bruno's record. But hey, you never know what WWE has in mind. So That's how I would do it, because they kind of did put themselves in the corner introducing Cody into the fold, and Cody got to get his lick back. Let's call it what it is. Cody got to get his lick back, because you can't just let Roman get away with that, right? So, and with Solo getting involved and whatnot. So yeah, and that's, like I said, that's how I would do it. That would be the perfect way to end that story if they're looking to end it. But I guarantee you Roman will be holding a championship for at least another year. So strap in. Get ready for this ride. A lot of people complaining about it. I personally, I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. We got two championships. Let Roman hold that one hostage. It brings more prestige to it. And it would be that much sweeter when someone does knock him off. And maybe it's not Cody. Maybe it's not Jay. Maybe it's not Jimmy or Solo. Maybe it's someone that we don't know yet. So let's get strapped in for the ride, right? And since this writer's strike has allowed for Cena and The Rock to come back, that leaves one more person. And I know he retired. I know he had his retirement match. But what you doing? You're not doing anything. Batista. Would love to see Batista come back. Even if it's just for one segment. Even if it's for the WWE Hall of Fame. You know, he was supposed to headline that back during COVID. And he wanted to wait to do it in front of the live crowd. So I can't blame him on that. We've seen these big moments in wrestling that were kind of hindered with the lack of a crowd. You saw it with Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar. Drew McIntyre was hot as ever, finally got his win, and there was no crowd. So now's the perfect time to reintroduce Batista back, even if it's for the WWE Hall of Fame. I know he retired, but I would love to see him in the ring again, even if it's just a Batista bomb somebody, you know? So, yeah, that's this has been Wrestling Wednesdays. If you want to send me topics, go ahead, man. You know, yeah, let's just end it here. Like I said, No Motherfucker Podcast, Wrestling Wednesdays. I'm your host, Paris Amon, and until next time, peace.